position to resume. Commissioner Pomari.
A kia ora tātou, tēnā kōrua.
Kia ora.
Ngā mihi nui ki a kōrua I tēnā iahiahi. Thank you both very much for your legal submissions. They've obviously been very well considered, and they form a very extensive platform of legal advice for the panel to consider. So thank you for that. You've provided us with some guidance on, in terms of reconciling the concerns raised by iwi in their submissions with QRail's optimism around the effectiveness of the Mana Whenua engagement framework. And at paragraph 149, just flick over to that, you say there that it's necessary to compare the conflicting considerations in part two in accordance with their scale and degree and relative significance or proportion in arriving at a final outcome. Now, my question for you is that in the absence of a cultural impact assessment and with no certainty around the finalisation of a partnership framework with local iwi, in your opinion, does the panel have before it sufficient information to be able to properly consider and assess the scale and degree of cultural effects as you have outlined that we need to do in order to arrive at an outcome?
Well, what I've submitted is that certainly assessing the cultural impact of this project on the environment is a relevant consideration, and that the panel should look at all of the effects. It's got a requirement to assess those effects. The second point is to acknowledge that there is a deficit of information in relation to cultural values. That's not in question. And so the information that you have to assess cultural values is limited to whatever you've gathered from the submitters who have presented before you, and whatever comfort you can take from the offered conditions and within the limits of the information provided by KiwiRail. It's certainly not something that the reporting officers have considered they were able to tackle themselves in terms of concluding cultural values or making conclusions of it. So that's an identified gap in the assessment.
Yeah.
So it's long-winded, and I might have missed the initial point, but I don't think I could go so far as to tell you how important that lack of information should be to your overall assessment. Certainly it is important. It's important for a number of different reasons. And it does have some interactions, of course, the submissions and our discussion about the MPSFM and Te Mana o Te Wai, the relationship with those values. So it is a notable gap in the assessment of the information. Quite what you do with that is something which I'm a little bit reluctant to get into.
Okay.
And just on reconsidering my paragraph 149, certainly that second sentence, it is necessary to compare the conflicting considerations in part two in accordance with their scale and degree and relative significance or proportion in arriving at a final outcome. Now, I'm not submitting to the panel as to what matters in part two have a greater significance. I'm not saying to you that it is not important that this cultural values or part eight might not be addressed. I'm copping out of that discussion a little bit, my apologies. I'm just recognising that those matters of weighting and evaluation of those is something for the panel to have taken to account, but yes. that at this point in time, it is noted that that information on those Part 2 matters, which are important, is not there or not to a level of sufficiency.
Thank you. That's helpful. So just to clarify, at the end of that paragraph, you say that Part 2 considerations must be confronted realistically.
Yes.
Are you... Yes, is that what you mean? You mean that... we need to, our considerations must be based on the information before us as a panel.
Based on realism, basically I'm saying let's call a spade a spade. Yeah. And if I'm saying if a consideration in Part 2 is not met or there is insufficient information on it, it doesn't necessarily mean that this project as a whole is does not reflect sustainable management. Mm-hmm. But let's be real about the level of information we have when we're going through that evaluation, because it doesn't do anybody any favours if, for example, you were to conclude that the conditions were fine insofar as they address cultural values, if in fact they aren't.
Yes.
If the conclusion is ultimately going to be one way or the other, the caution that I'm expressing is that let's do that on a real basis.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Now, in relation to your paragraphs 79 and 80, you're talking about the need to complete ecological surveys as soon as possible, through the conditions. If the panel's of a mind to make a positive recommendation in relation to the NOR, and the reason for that obviously is to establish more certainty around effects, and also to potentially provide for off-site mitigation and an offset package that extends beyond the NOR designation. I'm interested in your views around whether you consider the lack of certainty in terms of cultural effects could be treated or should be treated in a similar situation and should be treated in a similar way. In terms of the mana whenua engagement condition that's being proposed, for instance, is it your view that should also be, imposed on the designation with haste to have that engagement finalised and potential cultural effects assessed as quickly as possible?
I'd agree with that, Commissioner.
Yeah.
On both of those things, the officer's view is that they should have been required yesterday, or they should have formed part of the bundle that we have now. We don't have it, but we've heard about opportunities to respond to cultural effects on cultural values, or to take into account those considerations in detailed design. And like with the ecology issue that you've referred to, to be able to respond to them in detailed design, you need to know what the effects are going to be. So yes, it's a good analogy, Commissioner. What we're saying is that these things should be addressed as soon as possible so that the information is then available to feed into that detailed design and those opportunities to mitigate or allow for or provide for those values within the design are available to them. So I think sequencing is an important point here.
Yes. Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. Now, just jumping back then to paragraph 59. I've just got back there. trying to remember what it was I wanted to ask you about there.
Page 18.
Page 18. Okay. Right. Yes. The three issues you've identified in terms of, again, the ecological issues that still remain in contention between Kiwi Rail and the council. You've highlighted three questions there that are really helpful in terms of, determining our approach to resolving those issues. I'm wondering whether, again, would it be helpful for those questions to also be applied to the cultural effects question to assist us in our assessment?
I'm sorry, Commissioner, I'm not sure if I entirely follow your question. So before I go on, Anna.
That's quite all right. I'll repeat that in a different way. At paragraph 59, you've identified three areas of that remain unresolved between the council and Kiwi Rail in terms of ecological issues, and you've outlined an approach by highlighting those three questions. To determine whether or not those issues, can be addressed appropriately at the regional consenting stage. And I'm wondering, the questions that you've raised here in terms of identifying a relevant approach, Kiwi Rail's identified that the consents will be required to the freight hub, and they'll be applied for in due course by the outline plan process, etc. And the effects on the freight hub in terms of ecological issues. Actually, I'm just checking to see if I've got my paragraph right there. I think it's 63 to 64. That would explain why it's not. It doesn't look familiar. Sorry, I'll just review what my question was there. No, I think it relates to another paragraph. Sorry, I've got the wrong number there. I was really just asking whether it might have a similar application in a cultural context to the ecological one, but I'll have a reread of that and come back to you on it while others are asking questions. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
I think that those were all the questions I had for you, Mr. Jessen.
Thank you
very much.
Commissioner Sweetman.
Thank you both. I really don't have any particular questions. Commissioner Marson's been asking those that I would have along the way. I will just ask one, which is an aside matter, though, Mr. Jessen, which is your response in terms of development contributions.
Yes.
And then the Section 8 of the Local Government Act, which is that whether the Act binds the Crown or not. And it is certainly my understanding that the Crown and certain contributions, but that's just a by and by that should this notice be confirmed, that will need to be addressed at a later date.
Sure, Commissioner. I, in looking up the question of injurious effect under the Public Works Act, those remedies there are available to people. in respect of requirements by the Crown or the local authority. Now, interestingly, under that Act, Kiwi Rail Holdings would be regarded as a local authority and not the Crown at all. Now, my understanding is that the body of being Kiwi Rail Holdings Limited is not the Crown. But I haven't directly gone through every line of inquiry to satisfy myself whether they are or they aren't the Crown, but it's not immediately apparent that they are. There are
As I said, you don't need to go into any depth at this stage. It will be a matter that will be addressed at a later date.
That's fine.
So no questions from me. Thank you.
State-owned enterprise, that's what they are.
All right, Commissioner Mackinson.
Afternoon, Mr. Jessen.
Afternoon.
I do have one area where I'd appreciate a little bit more insight from yourself, and this is to do with section 4.2 on page 46 of your submission this afternoon, and around conditions governing some of the infrastructure matters that council was hoping to get into a side agreement that hasn't quite happened yet. And you were raising the question as to whether without that agreement in place, we have enough certainty if suitably worded conditions can't be created because they will be somewhat cumbersome due to the level of detail that will be required. And I just welcome your thoughts on whether there might be a mechanism by which those matters could be considered through almost subsections of the road network integration plan, you know, whereby that condition at sort of 47 through to 50, those conditions are amended so that the road network integration plan must consider matters of vesting permissions from councillors, road controlling authorities, that kind of thing. And whether, in your view, that would be a mechanism that might work?
Well, I think the road network integration plan could work for some of those things. It might be helpful if it addressed matters of vesting and timing. I don't know that it could be the complete answer to the issue of damage caused to roads, because ultimately the road network integration plan is a document prepared and administered by Kiwi Rail itself. So it wouldn't... there would be no element of compulsion that the council could insist upon in that document to oblige Kiwi Rail to remedy damages to the road network. So that's what would be missing in that approach, is a condition that is clear as to a requirement that the thing be done. Now, as to the cumbersome nature, I think it's fair to say that the conditions would be, but as Mr. Van Bentham said, I recall him saying they were done, they were known to be effective, and the fact that they are cumbersome in our submission doesn't prevent them from being a vires or appropriate condition. It just means all we're submitting there is that they are perhaps, because of the nature of them being cumbersome and that it's really addressing issues directly between the council and Kiwi Rail, they are perhaps better in a side agreement rather than having poor commissioners and council officers have to go through them line by line and make sense of them all. But that's the position we're left in, unfortunately.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I have a set of questions that's related to the questions that Commissioner Pomare is asking, but come from it at a different angle. Section 36A of the Resource Management Act states that a person seeking a notice of requirement is not required to consult with any person about the application. Section 6 E directs us as a matter of national importance to consider, recognise and provide for the relationship of Māori and their culture and traditions to ancestral lands, water, sites, wahi tapu and other tonga. If you're not obliged to consult and you present an application that has those potential issues there, and tangata whenua have the opportunity and take the opportunity to present, to what extent is the absence of any fundamental objection based on relationship, in a sense, a cultural impact assessment achieved by the process as opposed to an independent report?
Well, at a basic level, sir, all of the information that you have heard in written reports or given orally at the hearing is evidence. It is information. There's no magic specifically under the Act to the words cultural impact assessment. It is all evidence as to the cultural values of a site.
Yeah.
So that is what it is at a fundamental level. The inquiry, I would say, is that the commissioners and the panel is looking at everything before it, whatever form it takes, and trying to see how that fits or how that assists the panel to answer the questions when they're having particular regard to these matters under Section 6E and Section 8 and Section 7. So perhaps I've lost your question somewhere along the way, sir, but no, there's no magic to a cultural impact assessment. You're entitled to make your conclusions based on what is before you, whether there's a CVA or not.
Yeah.
And that includes all the information you've heard to date.
Yeah. So there is no statutory requirement for a cultural impact assessment, and you accept that to the extent that tangata whenua have engaged with the process and brought forward, they are capable of doing so, and whatever evidence they present should be assessed because they are particularly well placed to describe the relationship that the Act asks us to recognise and provide for.
Correct, yes. And to add to that, you asked about the absence of a fundamental opposition, and I suppose the question is, well, if nobody tells us that there are any critical values here that must be avoided, can you take some heart of that? Well, that all, again, just falls within your evaluative functions.
But most of the whenua is in private ownership, capable of being used for rural uses. And the fundamental impact of any development would be the uncovering potentially of kauiwi or tangata whenua, tangata kauiwi, whatever, those values, which typically are addressed by a discovery protocol. It seemed to me, for example, that Ngāti Kauwhata particularly felt that there was an important contribution to make in designing the hub to respect Te Mano Te Wai. In other words, that the particular points where tangata whenua can insert themselves and add considerable value in design is at the implementation and regional resource consenting phase. That was the sense. And if that's true, the conditions, the way they work, do provide tangata whenua with agency in relation to those matters. Do you agree?
I would say they don't deprive tangata whenua from agency in those matters when it comes to regional consenting. I would also add that my understanding of the potential cultural impacts and the concerns of iwi is perhaps a little bit broader than as you described, and I recall submissions that speak about the value of the why on the land or the potential why in food gathering that takes place there as well. And this does sort of tie back into complicated questions about how we look at the MPSFM now, accepting that they aren't deprived of that, looking at that again later down the track.
It seemed to me that we got into an interesting subject of what is a cultural effect and what is cultural memory, because some submitters providing a mana whenua perspective were recalling an area in terms of cultural memory as opposed to what it is available or used now. Not entirely. I accept that that's an oversimplification, but there are elements of that. And that raises an interesting question about how much that memory is an effect. Do you know what I mean? It's like the receiving environment is what it is.
Yes, and I do know what you mean, but I think that if I try and give my Pākehā answer to that question, I might be on shaky ground as well, because I don't consider that I could engage with you on whether or not a memory of a way the environment might have been once is still a value to tangata whenua now. These are perhaps the types of things that one might have expected in a cultural values assessment. So maybe rather than have me speculate about those values, the point is more that there is an absence of evidence on how those sort of relate to cultural values, and that still presents as a gap that the panel has to deal with some way.
Yeah, and I suppose the word relationship has to be read in context with the concept of kaitiakitanga, which is an ongoing sense of responsibility despite the historical accretion for these resources, which that mana whenua still claim as their responsibility.
Yes, that's fair, sir.
Yeah. All right, well, that's just another angle, and that leads me back to Commissioner Pomare, who might have formulated another question now that we've been through the other commissioners.
My apologies for that. I have been through my questions again and the paragraphs have been completely misnumbered. So I can't find the reference, I'm afraid. My apologies for that. But I think your response to the first question has probably covered that. So thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner.
All right, well, thank you very much for those very helpful and very full submissions, as Commissioner Pomare mentioned.